After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord. The second reading comes from Hebrews. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." The word of the Lord.
When one thinks of a saint, typically what comes to mind is an image of someone who was martyred for their faith, or the stained glass heroes in the windows of a church. Those who have died during the past year may also come to mind, as many congregations remember these people on All Saints' Day. These holy ones serve as models of faith, but they are not the only believers to make up the body of Christ. All believers in Jesus Christ, both living and dead, are saints. Through the waters of baptism, we too come into the life and death of Christ and are part of the community of saints. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us and makes us holy through the forgiveness of sins with the washing of the water by the Word. Therefore, the community of saints, or the cloud of witnesses, as the Hebrews lesson calls it, includes those who have gone before us, as well as those who are currently with us here in this place. The notion of the body of Christ, however, is bigger than our congregation, denomination, or nation. The reading from Revelation tells of a great multitude before the throne of God. The people come from many nations, tribes, peoples, and languages. The communion of saints includes the whole Christian church on earth and in heaven. As a music major, I cannot help but reflect on what implications this has on church music. The church's song belongs to no one people. We can appreciate the music our brothers and sisters in Christ use in other countries for their worship services. Incorporating this music into our own worship can provide deep enrichment. Chants from Taizé, African hymns, rhythmic Latino music, and Asian hymns are just a few of the rich resources we have to draw upon. The opening hymn we sang this morning, the music for which was written by the great English composer Ralph Vaughan Williams, is another example. It is interesting to note that the hymn tune name is Sine Nomine, Latin for without a name. This reminds us that we rejoice with saints both known and unknown, and can incorporate music both familiar and unfamiliar to us in worship. Just as the church's song belongs to no one people, it also belongs to no one time. We can appreciate music from the saints of the past as well as those of the present. Quality worship music does not have an expiration date like a gallon of milk. We can appreciate our rich musical heritage while adding to it music from our generation. If music and worship services is only from the 20th century or only from before then, are we truly giving witness to the communion of saints? It is easy to get caught up in the hubris of the present moment, thinking that our music and generation are superior to those who have gone before us. We fail to see that future generations will find distortions and absurdities in our values, practices, and inventions that never occurred to us. To quote an article by Thomas H. Troger, who's the chaplain for the American Guild of Organists and a professor at Yale Divinity School and Institute of Sacred Music. To help overcome this, we celebrate those who have gone before us, to give a sense of interconnectedness. Instead of looking down on the past, we harmonize and make music with the past. Professor Troger states that through music making, we give witness to the great cloud of the faithful through the ages, and thereby lift people above the hubris of the present moment. I challenge us all to remember this, not only on All Saints' Day, but always, so that we might in fact sing with all the saints. Amen.